Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As you might imagine, today it is difficult to find and to hire capable and qualified and dependable people in order to run our businesses with excellence and with efficiency. And an impressive resume does not always tell us the whole story, does it? Doesn't tell us what we really need to know about the person that we seek to employ. And so it is with those who seek to take on the responsibility of laboring for the Lord, which really, to a greater or to a lesser degree, is all of us who belong to Jesus Christ. So, question is, who is qualified to represent Him? Well, at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul has already told us that none of us are qualified. None of us are adequate for the task of bearing the weight of the responsibility of a message that has eternal consequences for those who hear that message. But still, Paul tells us what is required of us. We should seek to be honest. We should seek to be sincere. We should seek to diligently represent Jesus Christ according to the truth of His Word, with a heart, with a life that is fully devoted to Him. That is what is required of us. And in the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul continues to paint that picture, a picture of those who the Lord seeks to use in order to bring His message of salvation to the people in this world. He seeks those who are a fragrance of Christ, a fragrance among those who are being saved, a fragrance among those who are perishing. And Paul is an example of such a man, isn't he? But as the enemy would have it, there were those in the church in the city of Corinth who felt that Paul was not qualified to speak for Christ. And so in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says this to the people there. Are we now beginning to commend ourselves to you again? Sunistemi in Greek. Do we need to reintroduce ourselves to you all over again? After all of the time that I have spent with you, don't you know me by now? Have you not seen what kind of a person I am? So why? Why would you believe the lies about me that have come from those who have come in among you? Why would you believe those things? Or do we need, as some do, letters of commendation sent to you, soustatikas in Greek. Do we require written proof that we are who we claim to be so that you will accept us? Or when we go to other fellowships, do we need letters of commendation from you? Letters may be good. They may be useful, depending upon who is writing those letters. But Paul says we don't need such letters to prove our credibility. We do not need letters like that to prove our integrity. We have no need of those letters to prove that we speak for God, that we speak for Christ. Why? Well, he says in verse 2, you yourselves are our letter. Your lives have been changed by the word that we have preached to you. You are a living testimony of the grace of God, which has been written without pen and ink, but has been written in our hearts. You are precious to us. So we live together and we die together. He will say to them in verse 3 of chapter 7 of this letter, we are one in Christ. And your lives are a letter that is known and that is read by all men. Many people have witnessed how your lives have been transformed by the message of Christ. A message that we have proclaimed among you. A testimony that has been made manifest, Paul says. Phanerao in Greek. It has been made clear. It's been revealed to all around you. It's evident that you are, in fact, a letter of Christ himself. You are living proof that he lives within you and that we are stewards of the word of God, truth that is cared for by us, diakoneo in Greek, truth that we have faithfully delivered to you as his bondservants. Delivered by us to you through a ministry that has been entrusted to us by God himself. You are a letter that has been written not with pen and ink, because ink fades away over time, doesn't it? But you are a letter that has been written and remains forever because it has been written by the Spirit of the living God who now lives in your hearts. A letter that has not been written on tablets of stone, as God did, if you'll recall, on Mount Sinai, which really only showed the people that they were incapable of keeping his perfect and his righteous commandments. But, Paul adds, his commandments of God, they've been written on tablets of human hearts, he says. Written within those whom he has redeemed. As he said in Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. So, we are told in Psalm 119 that with a new heart within us, a heart that has been cleansed by God, we will find that we love his commandments. And so we will meditate on his word day and night, and we will long to obey it. For those who know Jesus Christ, his word will become the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. And though we may fail at times, perhaps many times, still, above all else, we long to please our Lord. And such confidence, Paul says in verse 4, pepoethesis in Greek, such assurance we have that through the power of Christ towards God, we will seek and continue to seek to please Him in all things. This is the confidence that we have. By His grace, Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am. I am under orders from Christ Himself. He sees. He knows. He knows that I seek to please Him in all things. I'm under orders. So woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. But in verse 5, Paul is quick to add this. Not that we are adequate, hikanes in Greek, not that we are sufficient in ourselves, in our own strength, or in our own power, or in our own ability to even consider, lagidsomai, to credit anything of eternal value as coming from ourselves. But our adequacy, our sufficiency is from God. I'm just a clay pot containing the priceless treasure of divine truth. Is that how we see ourselves? Well, that would be the right perspective. It is God who has made us adequate. So it is not so much our self-confidence that matters, but it is our confidence in God who lives within us. That is what really matters. He has made us His servants. He has made us His stewards, Paul says in verse 6, entrusting us with the message of a new covenant, diatheke in Greek, with a new testament, with a new agreement, between God and man, the promise of God to take away our sin, to forgive us of our sin through Jesus Christ. And everything else is meaningless by comparison to this covenant, to this agreement. And nothing else really matters, does it? The promise of God that salvation is available, that it is available to us, to anyone who will believe that Jesus has made peace with God for us through the blood of His cross. A new agreement, a letter that has been written in His blood, not in the letters of the words of the law of God, because we know we cannot fully keep those commandments, can we? No matter how hard we try, we all fail, we all fall, we all falter at times. But it is a letter that has been written according to the work of the Spirit of God in bringing us to Christ. He is the one who brings us to Christ. For though the law of God is perfect, for though it is holy, though it is true, the letter of the law kills us. Why? Because we all fall short of His standard of perfection, so we all stand condemned before Him. But thanks be to God that it is the Spirit who gives us life, who gives us eternal life in Christ. This is the ministry that has been entrusted to us, to point others to salvation in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The message of salvation that we are qualified to bring. Why? Because that message has been written in our hearts forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.